Let's turn to the New Testament book of 1 Thessalonians. Towards the back of your Bible in the New Testament. If you find Hebrews, you've gone a little bit too far. Thessalonians is right after Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to read four verses, but they're probably the shortest four verses in the whole Bible together. Starting with verse number 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. From God's word, it says this in these four short verses. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, your word doesn't have to be long to be powerful. It can be just four short verses. We want these verses here this morning, Lord, to penetrate our hearts, to change us, to transform us, to mold us more into the image of Jesus Christ by the power of your word, Lord. Father, I pray that the words that I say and the meditation of my heart is going to be pleasing to you here this morning. To you be the glory, and we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Today we're going to conclude our sermon series titled Sin, A Place, A Period, and A Price. Sin will take you to a place you don't want to go. It will keep you there for a period of time longer than you want to stay. And sin will make you pay a price you cannot afford. And I certainly hope that I have said that enough of times in here over the past 6 weeks that those three lines have kind of been branded into our brains and into our hearts. But sin is still crouching at our door and it still desires to have us. I don't know about you, but my heart wants to follow Christ. So therefore, I don't want to give in. I don't want to give in to sin's evil desires. I want to do this over here. I want to do the good things. But Satan is really, really good at what he does. And he's really good at using his tools of deception, of doubt, of discouragement, and of defeat. In last week's message, I gave a theological approach from Ephesians chapter 6 on how we can take a stand against Satan and the devil and his schemes. And also, as we take a stand against him, we take a stand for God. And that approach was simply this. We put on the full armor of God. And the key to that full armor of God, as I explained last week, was to remember the journey of our salvation. That journey consisted of six steps. We heard the gospel message. We placed our faith in that gospel message. The truth of that message set us free. As a result, we received a free gift of salvation from the Father. We then became righteous in the eyes of the Father. And then the Spirit of God took up residence within us to guide us and direct us. The gospel. Faith, truth, salvation, righteousness, and the Holy Spirit. They were all part of the armor of God that we need to put on when we go into battle with Satan. And when we bring those thoughts about our salvation process, and when we bring those thoughts back into our minds, and what the Lord has truly done in us as a free gift, then we will, in fact, stand against the devil and his evil schemes. But today, I want to conclude this message on sin with a more of a practical approach on how we can stand against the devil and sin and his evil schemes. And yes, there's going to be some overlap with this practical approach with the full armor of God, but it's going to be slightly different. Just a little background. As long as we are in these mortal bodies, sin will never be totally eradicated from our lives. And I, for one, I wish it would. Don't you? Amen. Don't you wish that once you became a Christian, you just didn't do that stuff anymore? But it doesn't happen. But as believers, we cannot use that as an excuse, as a free license to sin either. We can't go too far in the other direction. And it's imperative that we as Christians out in this world, that we win more battles with sin than what we lose. And it takes God's Spirit along with human effort to win these battles. And I want to repeat that. It takes God's Spirit, we know that, the armor of God, but along with human effort to win battles against sin. Let me tell this little story I heard a pastor tell one time. There was a young boy and his father. They were watching television one night, and they were watching a boxing match. And they were intently watching, and right before the fight started, in both corners, the TV showed one boxer and then the other boxer. And one of the boxers, before he went out into the ring to fight, he signed himself. He gave what the Catholics would call the sign of the cross. And the young boy looked at his father and asked, "Dad, will that help this man win the fight?" And the dad responded, "Only if he can punch." God doesn't win all of our battles for us. It takes human effort along with God's Spirit to win battles. Don't expect God's Spirit to do all the work. It requires our cooperation to win these battles. Let's go to Scripture, and let's go to our first fill in the blank, and let's see how this plays out here. Our first fill in the blank would say this, and then we'll read the Scripture. It says this: God's way, God always provides a way out of our tempting situation. God always, always provides a way out of our tempting situation. I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13, and read what it says there. It says this: "So, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall." Key verse number 13. "No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will always provide a way out so that you can stand up underneath it." He'll always provide a way out. The Holy Spirit that dwells inside us as Christians is giving us direction so that we will not fall into sin. He's always providing a way out. Did you know that? Every time you're faced with a tempting situation, there is always a way out. Just to refresh all of our memories, what did Jesus say about this? Jesus says, if your hand causes you to fall, to do what? To cut it off. If your eye causes you to fail and to fall, to do what? To gouge it out, to pluck it out. Now let me put that into the 21st century version. If HBO causes you to sin, get rid of it. If your charge card causes you to sin, cut it up. If your friends cause you to sin, get new friends. There's always a way out of your tempting situation. James chapter 4, verse 7 tells us to resist the devil and he will flee from you. And I believe that because that's what the Bible teaches. But what if? That verse says resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's always good advice. It's biblical. But what if we can get to the point where we never have to even resist the devil? What if we can get to the point where we never have to resist the devil? What if we can find God's way out and therefore Satan just never shows up? What if we could just avoid the situation? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 19 and 22, the scripture that we just read here earlier, says this in verse 19. It says this: avoid every kind of evil. That is our next fill in the blank. We must avoid every kind of evil. Avoid every. Is there a difference then, Mike, between avoiding evil and resisting evil? Well, some of you might remember the actress from way back. Her name was Mae West. And Mae West was quoted as saying this: "I generally avoid temptation unless I can't resist it." A great quote. So let me ask all of us this. Would we rather resist a tempting situation, or would we rather avoid a tempting situation? Now, come on, Mike, they're still one and the same. Let me explain. I don't think that they are. You don't have to resist something that you've already avoided. Okay? If you've already avoided it, then it's never right there in my face. Had King David avoided his rooftop stroll, he would have never had to resist Bathsheba. See where I'm getting at? If you avoid the situation before it ever happens, there are many situations that you'll never have to resist because they will never happen. I know there's going to be times in our lives where we'll find ourselves in a tempting situation that could not have been avoided. I know that happens to all of us. But this morning, let's look at and focus on some of those tempting situations that can be avoided and how we can avoid them. And any one of these five can stand on its own. And some of these are going to overlap with the armor of God. And you notice that I have made what they call an acrostic in your bulletin, A-V-O-I-D. So you know that the first letter of each one of those is going to start with that letter. So we're going to try to avoid temptation instead of resisting temptation. So how do we do that? The first one would be this. Aim to a higher standard of holiness. Aim to a higher standard of holiness. And here's a question we all need to ask ourselves. Where do you set your bar on holiness? If that bar could be set anywhere from here all the way up to Jesus Christ, where do you set your bar? Because I assure you of this, you will only rise to where you have your bar set. If your bar is set here, that's where you'll rise in your standard of holiness. If your standard is right here, if that's where you set the bar, that's as high as you're going to rise. You're only going to rise as high as you set your own bar for your own standard of holiness. What should be our standard of holiness in our lives? It should be Jesus Christ, and his bar is way up there somewhere. So I encourage all of us today that wherever our bar may be in our lives, this imaginary bar, I pray that we will step it up a notch or two before we leave here today. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now there's a bar to rise to be perfect. And that is the standard that we should try to set in all of our lives. Of course, we know that we'll never achieve that, but our goal here this morning is this. If it's at level 3, move your bar up to level 4, okay? And we'll keep on moving it up another notch. So we aim to a higher standard of holiness. V, what else can we do to avoid tempting situations? We need to value your position in Christ. Value my position in Christ. Do we realize who we are in Jesus Christ? Or are we just another person that's walking the face of this earth? 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says this, that the one in us is greater than the one who is in the world. Chapter 8, verse 35, asks this question, who can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ? Can trouble? Can hardship? Can persecution? Can famine? Nakedness? Danger? Or sword? And then Paul concludes that in verse 37 by saying this, we are more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. And then one more, 1 Corinthians 6:20 says that we, as believers, we were bought at a price. Do we value our position in Christ? First of all, do we aim for that higher standard? Do we value our position in Christ? Do we really know and understand what we are and whose we are in Christ Jesus? So those are two things that we can do to try to help avoid tempting situations. And here's an interesting one. O, A-V-O, occupy your idle time. Occupy your idle time. Here's a very, very interesting question. What are you doing when you're doing nothing? What are you doing when you're doing nothing? Because here's the question. Let's say I call up Romy. Romy, I got to pick on you because Greg's not here, okay? I call up Romy. Hey, Romy, what are you doing tonight? Oh, nothing. Now, come on. You have answered the phone and said that, right? Somebody has called you or asked you, hey, what are you doing? Oh, nothing. Yes, you are. You're doing something, aren't you? You're doing something. You're reading a book. You're watching TV. You're sewing. You're quilting. That's what my wife would be doing. You're doing something. But what is it that you are doing? What are you doing when you're doing nothing? Do you know that idle hands are what? The devil's workplace, right? Workshop. And by the way, that verse is not in the Bible, but it's really good advice anyways. In Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30, Jesus tells a story of three men. One was given one talent, one two talents, and one five talents. And what happened to these people? We know what the guy with five did. We know what the guy with two did. What did the guy with one do with his time? What did he do with his treasure? What did he do with his talent? He did absolutely nothing. He did nothing. And what did his master do? His master called him lazy and kicked him out. And he said, throw that worthless servant outside where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. We all have idle time. We all have time for ourselves. And for some of us, it might be a whole lot. For some of us, it might be very little. But we need to occupy that idle time with something constructive. Chances are that you will and I will give in to temptation and give in to sin when we find ourselves with absolutely nothing to do. Why? Because it's just our human condition to do that. So, we need to aim to a higher standard of holiness, value our position in Christ. We need to occupy our idle time. And the next one, we need to include the Holy Spirit in our decisions. Include the Holy Spirit in your decisions. Let me tell this quick little story. This is a story about an airplane disaster. Excuse me. On February 19th, 1985, Iberia Airlines Boeing 727 crashed into a mountain in Bilbao, Spain on that date, February 19th, 1985. 148 people died in that crash. They found the black box and played it back what was happening in the cockpit just moments before the disaster. When they played it back, they heard the autopilot on the airplane saying this, pull up, pull up, pull up. The airplane's defense, built-in defense mechanisms was telling the pilot, you better pull up. There's a mountain ahead of you. And the pilot is on the voice recorder as saying this, shut up, gringo. Shut up, gringo. 148 people lost their lives because the pilot failed to obey the system that was built into this aircraft to keep it from crashing and burning. Sometimes people crash and burn too, don't we? We don't want to crash and burn. But there is something inside us that kind of gives us good direction. And that's the Holy Spirit. He's our guide and He's our first alert warning system to help us avoid temptation when those temptation situations come around. Remember the old commercial or the old cartoons used to have the angel and the devil? Remember, on each shoulder, on one side was the angel and the other side was the devil? Well, one of those is our conscience, and our conscience is always telling us to do the right thing. Hopefully our conscience is telling us to do the right thing. Well, I know the spirit inside us is telling us to do the right thing. Well, listen to that spirit inside us and include that spirit and what the voice that you're hearing in your decisions, and that will help you and I avoid those tempting situations. So here we go. We're aiming to a higher standard of holiness. We're valuing our position in Christ. We're now going to occupy our idle time, and we're going to include the Holy Spirit in our decisions. And the last thing we're going to do is dive into God's Word. D, we're going to dive into God's Word. We need to be reading God's Word on a daily basis, either in some kind of structured group setting or on our own. Most of us will probably do that on our own. That's a good thing. In your bulletin every Sunday, I have reading for the week. Right now, we're going through Genesis. I know it's more historical than it is theological, but I certainly, really strongly suggest this. Take some of that occupy your idle time and do the dive into God's Word. Open it up to the Gospel of John, to the book of Ephesians, to wherever, and start reading God's Word. We need to be reading God's Word to transform our lives. I think all of you in here know me well enough by this. God's Word does what? It transforms lives. And I want my life to be transformed because there are some hurdles out there that I still have trouble getting past. And I know this, the more I continue to read God's Word, the more He's going to help me overcome those hurdles and get past those things in my life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, the Bible tells us to avoid every kind of evil. If we would go to Galatians 5:16, we weren't there, but if we did, the Bible tells us to walk by the Spirit. And then in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20, that was last week's reading, the Bible tells us to put on the full armor of God. And those three things kind of go together, don't they? To avoid every kind of evil, we walk in the Spirit. And as we walk in the Spirit, we put on the full armor of God. And as we do, we are going to avoid every kind of evil. So, last week, a theological approach to try to keep ourselves out of sinful situations. Today, a logical, more practical approach to keep ourselves out of sinful situations, because I guarantee you this, you're going to hear it one last time. Sin will take you to a place you don't want to go, and neither do I. And sin will keep you there for a period of time longer than you want to stay, and I don't want to stay there any longer than I have to. And sin will make you pay a price that you cannot afford. And I don't want to pay the devil anything. So what do we do? I say this. I have put on the full armor of God. I am walking in the Spirit. I am a soldier for Christ. And I am going to take a stand against sin. Because when we leave this building, and when we go out there to our home, to our work, out in the community, we are representatives of Jesus Christ, amen? And we want to represent Him the best that we can. So let's avoid temptation, and let's go to God in prayer.